Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's year, we would like to wish a refuah shleima to Zachariah Shimon HaKohen ben Cyril, Rabbi Wallerstein. He hasn't been well for quite a while, and we wish him well. May we have a refuah shleima b'meirah v'yavo. Tonight, I entitled this year, just as an aside, because it's Parshas HaChodesh this week, and which is the last of the four parshas that we read before Pesach. Now, the interesting thing about Parshas HaChodesh, one would might ask, as I entitled the shiur, what was the reason for Parshas HaChodesh in terms of, we know about the Korban Pesach, certainly, which was required, but what was the importance of saying HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim at this point in time? I could understand telling them that's the beginning of the year for us, but giving us the ability, giving us the choice of being Mekadesh the Chodesh and making the Chodesh when we choose. One of the sidelight issues is that is really a very big thing because we know Rosh Hashanah, we know is Yom HaDin on Tishrei. And the interesting thing is on Chodesh Elul, when it was still Kiddush HaChodesh, we didn't know if it was going to be the first day Rosh Hashanah or the last day of Elul until they were Mekadesh HaChodesh, which is why even in Eretz Yisrael there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But the fact remains it's a very interesting thing because you would think if the courts are going to be in session that you know that you have to set up shop, so to speak, that you would want to have everything in place beforehand to get started. And we know when we daven on Rosh Hashanah, it says, HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, God is sitting in judgment on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the year, in terms of the numerical year that we count, he sits in judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So you mean to tell me if they weren't Mekadesh HaChodesh, God says, all right, we'll put off Yom HaDin till tomorrow, or it's going to be this day or that day. It's a very interesting thought process. God is giving us the capability of declaring when the new month begins. In other words, we know that this month is going to have 29 days. What would happen if years ago would only have 30 days, or if it was going to be Adar Aleph and Adar Beis some years? Of course, we have a perpetual calendar, but nevertheless, before that happened, God gave us the point, the ability. But what was the point of giving us that ability? He wanted to show us. He gave us that power. He wanted us to show us it's the significance of being on our own, of being in charge of our own life. We've been enslaved for 210 years in Mitzrayim. And now when we're getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, we're on the precipice of leaving. The fact remains, how can I convince you that you are responsible for your own lives, that your future is in your own hands? I'm going to give you the Torah and what you make of it. Your life is up to you how you want to live it. You have a bechira. You have a choice. And that's a very interesting concept. And he has to give us that koach, that boost to know us that we're not slaves anymore. We're free from working for anybody else. We're now on our own. And this is a very important thought before we leave. We have to know that while we're going to follow Moshe Rabbeinu through the Midbar, for hopefully it was only going to be a short time. They didn't think at that time that it would be for 40 years, but nevertheless, God wants them to learn to be on their own. They've been at the beck and call of Mitzrayim for so many years now, they forgot what it is to be responsible for their own lives. And so, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, your life begins today. And now, V'yichu Lahem Seh Levei Sovo Seh Labayis. I need you to take and right away you make a decision who you want to eat with, where you want to eat, how you want to eat, how it's going to be, how much you're going to eat. Everything in your life begins today. How you're going to live it is up to you. And that is a very interesting thing. So that's what we need with HaKodesh HaZeh Lochem, which is very important. So when we're Mekadesh the Chodesh, we're taking our lives in our own hands and saying, today is the first day of the month. And we live our lives, we know there's a Magzah Katan and a Magzah Gadol. It says in the beginning of Bereshit, Esamor Hagodol Memshelis Hayom V'Esamor Hakaton Memshelis Halayla V'Eitz HaKochavim. We have the Magzah Gadol, which is 28 years, which we make the Birchas HaChama, because that's the Memshelis Hagodol. The Marzir Cotton, again, it goes by the moon. Of course, we have to live by the sun as well. Well, we know when Pesach begins, it's Shomores Chodesh Aviv. It has to come out in the spring. But nevertheless, that's up to us to declare when it will be, as long as it comes out in the spring, if we have the other Rishon or other Sheni, and so on and so forth. It's a very interesting concept. And he gave us that koach to do it. And these are very interesting things. That's what I wanted to make in terms of Parshas HaChodesh. Of course, all the laws of Korban Pesach we'll discuss in the next couple of weeks a little bit at a time. Getting back to the Parsha, it's a very interesting thought process when it says, Yishor ki sazriya v'yoldo zohar v'tamar shivas yomim ki mei nidas tevosa titmar. What is the Parsha all about at this point in time? We know that the order of the Parshas is very interesting. When we have Vayikra, Tzav, Shemini, we're learning all about the animals and what we can eat and the various other things, different kinds of karbonis. The last of the karbonis that we're speaking about is Isha Ki Sazria. Why does it leave it to the end, so to speak? Isha Ki Sazria, the birth cycle, we would think that it's the very beginning. If you open up a book, a Madrichli, for a rabbi, the rabbi's madrich for the RCA cycle, it starts with a bris and a pidyon haben, various things. It has all these, the life cycle when it starts off and various things that go on in the course of your life. So Yisha Ki Sazria, you would think that maybe it would be one of the earlier things at the beginning of Bereshit, Yisha Ki Sazria, that you have to bring a carbon and things of that nature. But it's to teach us that when God created the world, just like Maisa Bereshis, everything was created beforehand, before man was the last of the creation, because the world had to be ready. When I would build, when you see a structure going up, you don't know what the purpose of the structure is until you see when the sign goes up or when you see the people moving in. You know who that house was built for, or if you know it's going to be a medical building or a parking garage or an office building. Whatever it will be, you don't know until the building is complete and the sign goes up outside. The same thing is with Bria Olam. Man had to be the last part of creation so that we knew once everything was created, now man is ready for occupancy. And so it's Isha Ki Sazria, now that we've completed everything. And since what is the first thing when man comes into the world? He's going to need sustenance. He's going to need something to fuel to survive. He's going to need food. So last week's parasha finishes off with the foods that we may eat so that when we're ready to have a child, when a child comes into this world, he knows what he may or may not eat, under what conditions, and everything that goes along with it. It's just a very simple thing to know. And these are the things. But we say the parasha has to do with Lashon Hara, which is a very interesting thing. It doesn't say that anywhere, except that the only reason we know that Saras is as an outgrowth of Lashon Hara, is a punishment for that, is the story of Miriam when we get to the end of Valoscha, when it says, Vatadaber Miriam, the Aaron b'Moshe, and it says that the Nath Mitzoras, she got Soras when she spoke Lashon Hara. That's the only way we know about it. That's where we come to the Limud to say that Lashon Hara is the cause of Soras. But the interesting thing is we know that there is a saying that goes, Chayim v'moves b'yad haloshon. What is the purpose? This we would need a Zoom for, but you could picture it. What is the reason for saying Biyad HaLashon? We should say Chaim HaMavis B'Lashon in the tongue. But the Biyad HaLashon, because many times, you know, people have an idea. They say, you know, you ask about somebody and he says, he begins to talk and then he says, he waves with his hand and he says, forget it. I don't want to say anything. Well, that movement with the hand is telling you everything you want to know. In other words, that movement, Chaim Mamavis is beyond Halashon. Sometimes the hand tells you more than the words. It's the motions of the hand play a part. So even when you will say, I don't want to say anything, well, obviously at that point in time, you've said something. And so it's beyond Halashon, which is a very interesting concept. But the point is over here, let's get back to the beginning of the parsha. The Abarbanel brings down an interesting medrash that tells us that Rabbi Shmuel darshins not darshins, but he talks about an interesting point. It says, Isha ki sazriya v'yoldo v'tamo shivas shamim ki meidi devosa titma yishloshim yom u'shloshim shamim v'teshe b'dmei Torah, and she is 33 days, 33 and 7 are 40. Now, we know it's 40 days, Yetzirat HaVlad, so we could understand, but what is the significance of 40? And to be very blunt, the point is, when a woman has pregnant, her Vesta, her period has ceased to exist, and all the blood accumulates in her body for the entire, I don't know how scientific a lot of this is, but nevertheless, he says that for a male, it's 40 days, and for a woman, 80. Why is there a difference between a male and a female child? He makes a very interesting point, and I said, I don't know if this is any doctors in the audience, if they could verify this, if it's true or not, or maybe we don't know. But nevertheless, this is what Rabbi Shmuel says, and he says very simply, the blood of a male child is warmer, and therefore it leaves the body at since it's collected for those 9 months, but since the temperature of the body for a male is warmer, then it leaves the body more quickly, and so after 40 days, the body has been purged of all the blood that was collected for the 9 months of pregnancy. However, since the blood of a female, not the blood of the female, but when the female fetus in the blood of the woman who is giving birth, it's a cooler substance, and therefore it takes longer for the blood to exit the body, for the body to purge, takes 80 days rather than 40. It's an interesting concept. I don't know how, as I said, I don't know how medically it shapes up medically. But nevertheless, that is a very interesting thought that we're taught from Rabbi Shmuel. And these are just very interesting sidelights. Now, of course, as I said, what is the point over here? It says these one thing about Saras that's really very strange. We know that somebody, when he has a rash on his body, and he has to go to the Kohen, and the Kohen takes a look at it, and he'll say, if it's Saras, then he declares him it's Chutz LaMachneh Moshavo. He has to separate himself from the rest of the community, Chutz LaMachneh Moshavo, because very simply, if he chooses necessary, perhaps, you know, he has a small rash on his hand or something that he can cover up with clothing, he might be a little lax in getting near somebody, and you might have contact with him. And if he has the type of person who speaks Lashon Hara, one would not want to be associated with him or near him. But if he can cover it up with his clothing and not be noticed, he might choose to do so. That brings to mind the next thing. In Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, V'chisesu ha-tzaras es kol b'saro es kol or ha-nega. If his body is totally and completely covered with tzaras, what does the Torah say? Then it says, v'tihar es hanoga. What is he doesn't have to separate himself from the community. He is totally pure. Everything is fine. Why would that be? That seems certainly counterintuitive. It would not make sense. But the point is really very simple. When somebody is totally, completely covered with saras, it's very visible to the naked eye. There's no way, may Rosho v'Adraglo, if his entire body is covered with this type of a rash, everybody knows that this person he can't hide it. And everybody knows to stay away from this person, that nobody will go near him, because there's no point in this is not a communicable disease, and therefore this is just a punishment, and people will stay away, and they'll know that this person is a terrible blabbermouth, and he talks evil about people, and nobody will associate with him. He'll lose all his friends if it's Meirosho V'Adraglo. It's a very interesting concept. And that's why we do that. It's no need to separate him, because no one is going to get near him, because who would want to be in contact with that type of a person? Now, it's a very interesting thing. There's a very interesting medrash in terms of Iyov, that he says that Iyov never understood when he got all his negoim, when he had all his problems, he had saras, he had so many things. If we learned Eeyore, he lost everything that he had. He didn't lose his wealth, but he lost all his family members, and of course at the end he had a new family, but nevertheless he suffered terribly for a long period of time and could not understand. And it says when he finally understood, when he finally read Yishaki Sazria and this parsha, and it's a very interesting thing, and what was that all about? How does that come to that meaning? And it says, Yishaki Sazria V'yolda Zachar. What happens? That a woman who gives birth has to bring a carbon. Why should she have to bring a carbon? Did she do anything wrong? And of course, the Gemara spells it out and says that perhaps it's very logical that when a woman is going through child labor, the labor pangs, and that she goes through, it's a very stressful point. It's very painful. Those of us who have seen or experienced it certainly understand the pangs of labor. They could be very, very painful, and some people really, some people have it easier than others, but even in the easiest of circumstances, it's a very difficult process. And sometimes people utter things that they shouldn't say. They make shavuos that they want to separate from their husband, or they're never going to have any more children. This was too much of an experience. They say all kinds of things that they may regret later. And so for that, we're told that she has to bring a carbon. And the purpose of the carbon is to expiate her sin. Now, what was the sin of Eve that this made him understand? She was separating herself. In other words, she was saying she doesn't want to be near her husband. And that wasn't for her own. That was, you know, she was cutting off her nose to spite her face. She needs her husband just for her family life in general. She doesn't really want to wait, but she's just saying things off the cuff. But Eve is noticing one thing. What was significant about Eve that we see by the end of Eve, and that it tells us that he was a wealthy person, and what did he do? A doctor, when he takes his Hippocratic oath, say his oath is to do no harm. But what does that really mean? In terms of Eve, what he did was, every week it said he made a big party for his family, and his children made parties, but all the people that they invited to the party were always family members. They weren't inviting outsiders. They were doing a lot of good, but not for the outside members of society. They were insulated in terms of all these kinds of things. They didn't do, it says, sur me ra v'asei tov. Many times we could do good and wonderful things, keep away from doing evil things. We could sit in a corner in our house and keep our hands folded and do no evil. Sur me ra, we do nothing. We overcome our worst tivus that we have to do things, and we sit. And we could sit on ourselves, by ourselves, and learn or do things, but sit in solitary confinement and never do any evil. But what the Pasuk says is Sur Meira is very good, but that's only half of the mission in life. It's Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov, and do good things as well. And that's what Eve was lacking. He was Sur Meira. He never did anything wrong, and that's what it says. But he wasn't Aseh Tov. He didn't help out his fellow man. And as we know, we have the story about Eve when the Paro wanted to call Abein Ha'ilot Ha'yaorot Tashlihu, when he was coming across with the idea that it was presented to him that he's going to have to stop Moshe Rabbeinu from being born. So there was Shlosh Shohayu Biotza Eitza, and that Bilam voted to let the Jews be killed, and Yisro ran away, and Eov Sheshosak, he kept quiet, he abstained, he didn't want to say anything. And that's the point. Sur Meira, fine. He didn't do anything bad, he didn't say to kill them, but he did not say to save them, and which was a major factor in our life. And sometimes we see that many times. We don't wish certain people evil. We don't wish them evil tidings or bad things to happen to certain people. But what are we doing to help our brethren? What are we doing? Do we give that tzedakah? Do we give our helping hand to people who need our aid and comfort? Do we do that? This is the beginning. Every month, God gives us the koach hischatzus. We have that opportunity every month to renew ourselves, which is why we count the years by the months. Most of the world counts it by the solar year. But the interesting thing about the sun is it does not move. It stays in one place. The moon is, while we are the revolution of the earth, around the sun. The moon is revolving around us at the same time. And therefore, that is, we have to keep moving. We are judging our lives by something that changes. The moon waxes and wanes at the time of the month. The sun is always there and doesn't move. God's lesson to us is we are Mekadesh the Chodesh. Our lives are in a continuous state of flux. We get up every day. We have to keep moving. To sit on ourselves and be that sun, which is standing still for a whole year, for our whole lives, it doesn't budge in the sky. That is not what God wants for us. Significance is HaChodesh HaZelochem. I want you to count the month by the moon. It waxes and wanes. You have a koach every month. If you've had a bad month, you have the opportunity to improve yourself. The new month starts again, and as the moon waxes, we have a koach ischachos, and we go on and go on. Mechayel el choyel. I would like to have some feedback in terms of if we would rather have next week a little bit of more Metzora, or we could stick to the Pesach and some Haggadah, and we can get some feedback on that. I would assume that there is a lot of interesting stuff on the Haggadah, and there's so much to say, and that might be interesting to say over at the Seder, and for that I wish everyone a good week. Thank you.